Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, the 25th of February, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where I got together with Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor Dan Haar to offer our thoughts about a rare parliamentary move by majority Democrats at the state capitol to try and pass a big multifaceted bill. We also analyzed the previous evening's State of the Union address with Southern Connecticut State University Associate Professor of Political Science and Urban Affairs, Dr. Jonathan Wharton, and Quinnipiac University Professor of Political Science, Dr. Scott McLean.
I'm going to suggest something to you right here, right now, as we kick off the show. That you are going to reflexively say, no, 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 no. We can't do that. I already have people online saying this. Hear me out on this. Hear me out on this, because it has something to do with a story that Chris just had in the news, if you were listening at the top of the hour. In Hartford today, I will submit to you that the General Assembly's Democratic majority is doing a disservice to the chamber and a disservice to you, and not just if you're a Democrat or Republican. What we're getting today in Hartford, my friends, is what I like to refer to as legislative slop. Now, there's no emergency right now. COVID is gone. The storm stopped. We don't have any massive attack from a foreign nation. All of the Connecticut town and city militias have not been summoned to defend the homeland. But yet the Democratic majority of Hartford and the leaders, Bob Duff of Norwalk, you know, the usual suspects, Bob Duff of Norwalk, Matt Ritter, the House Speaker, Martin Looney, one of the Senate leaders, Jason Rojas, the House Majority Leader, they say, well, this is an emergency. We have to, I'm going to go over some of these bills. They're taking all these bills that they say, hey, wait a minute, we've had a hearing on this. When was that? I missed it last year. That is an insult to you and me and everybody else. That's why you need to defeat as many of these people as possible at the polls in November. I know you're going to say, well, I'll never vote for a Republican. Do me a favor on this one. Vote for some Republicans and still vote for Ned Lamont if you want to. Because what is going on today is legislative slop. It's an election year, and what the Democrats are doing in part is they're packing this one big omnibus bill with some handouts for unions. They're packing this one big bill with aspects of earmarks because they know one of their own is under investigation by the FBI and that money might dry up. And they're calling it an emergency because they only have 3 months to do it in. It's a short session. Folks, this is why, and I'm going to suggest this to you, and you again, your reflexive answer is going to be, no, 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 we can't do that. No, hear me out. We need a full-time legislature. We do. If not a full-time legislature, we've got to throw away this three-month legislative session, because what the majority in Hartford is doing now is they are saying, well, we only have 12 weeks. We only have 3 months. So we have to essentially circumvent the process and throw all of these bills into one bill. Folks, I have said this for the past couple of years. This, you know, the test is tomorrow morning attitude by the Democratic majority in Hartford. It's got to stop. Now, it may not stop because you people, like numbed robots in some of these blue cities and towns, you send the same stooges up there every 2 years, and then you complain about your taxes. You complain about your electric bill. You complain about lack of progress on so many things. To me, I said, well, this is a perfect example. They're making up the rules as they go. There's nothing wrong with what's called an e-cert or an emergency certification if there is an actual emergency. There is no emergency now for a warehouse bill. There is no emergency for a police training bill. There is no emergency for all the other stuff in this big steaming pile of slop. And the reason they say they do it is they don't have enough time. I don't know what they're spending their time on. According to what we saw yesterday, it was to kneecap a lot of Connecticut landlords, but we'll get to that momentarily. We need a full-time legislature, or we've got to get rid of this three-month thing and make both sessions the even years and the odd years. You need to make them both 6 or 7 months. This is ridiculous. Let me ask you something. Supposing you had a classic car, classic sedan, classic truck, classic sports car, right? And there was only one shop within a decent amount of traveling distance for you that could service this car or this truck or this motorcycle, whatever, your pride and joy, your baby. You don't have too much in life, but you've got this classic car, right? And you don't submit this vehicle to work to just anybody else. You trust them, right? What would be your attitude if, and you'll see where I'm going at here in a moment, what would be your attitude if, in fact, somebody said, well, yeah, we can do this engine rebuild for you, or we can do these brakes for you, or the front end or rear end or the differential or the suspension, whatever. Well, that's great. Yeah, we'll do it for you. But we can only spend a maximum 4 hours of labor on it. What do you mean? Well, we have a time limit. But we'll get it all done. Well, how are you going to get all that done in 4 hours? 4 hours would be half of one job that you should be doing if you're doing it with care. Oh, no. We'll get it all done. Now, would you leave your car with that person? Would you leave your truck with that person? Would you leave that vintage motorcycle with that person? Of course you wouldn't. Because you have a brain. And your brain tells you, wait a minute. They're not going to be able to get all this done in 4 hours. It's going to be, like my dearly departed Italian father used to say, a half-ass job. Now, he could say, or this mechanic could say, well, you know, I did this work on it last year. And you'd say, that's last year. That's what the majority Democrats are trying to do in Hartford now. This is, and you heard it on Chris's news, they are justifying this by saying, well, we had public hearings on this last year. What? Are you serious? You had public hearings on this stuff last year. So that, show me where that carries over this year. Look, they can't. Folks, I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. And they do it every single year. How often do you hear right here on WICC, whether it's me, whether it's Chris, whether it's John, whether it's Lisa, whether it's Melissa, whether it's the weekend shows, how often do you hear, well, you know, the General Assembly, they've got to hurry up because they have a deadline. I have an idea. Get rid of the freaking deadlines. I mean, as of yesterday, when we were talking to our friend Megan Portfolio here, she had heard that the final bill, this mega bill that they're supposed to vote on today, wasn't even on the desks of legislators yesterday. What kind of lawmaking is that? You know what it is? It's slop. And it continues to happen because you people vote for the same people in the majority every 2 years, like clockwork. They laugh at you. Did you understand? They're laughing at you. They are laughing at you, saying, oh, don't worry, we'll win again. These peons have no idea how the process works. They are laughing at you. Because they know there's a certain percentage of you people out there where if it would put $10,000 back in your pockets, you still wouldn't vote for a Republican. Why? Oh, Trump. That's the Trump derangement syndrome that about two-thirds of this state is suffering right now.
Well, I could never vote for a Republican or some non-incumbent who's been there for 30 years.
Well, what if there's a better plan here that won't cost you all this money in taxes and fees? Trump! Yeah, but the guy running against your incumbent, Trump! Okay. Now, the way that we get around this, this is never going to happen because it would take action by the majority that may be expected to put more effort into what they do and not do it half-assed the way they're doing it. We need a full-time legislature. Or instead of this 6 months, and even with 6 months, they never get the budget done on time. Because they know they don't have to. And then the 3 month session, which is supposed to be some budget adjustments. No, they're going to pass. I'll get to some of these individual bills in a minute. They say, well, it's an emergency. Yeah, but how is this? Oh, no. Don't question us, you peons. It's an emergency. Don't you understand? Folks, you agree with me or not here. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. I don't care how much more it costs. It is time for the state of Connecticut to have a full-time General Assembly led by people who don't think it's their personal play toy. Look, it's never going to happen, but I'm going to put it out there, and I'll tell you why. We need a full-time General Assembly. This legislative garbage, this fermented slop that we get every other year, a three-month session in the even years right now, in the 5 or 6 month session in the odd years, every single session, whether it's in the even years or the odd years, it ends up going down to the wire. The opposition lawmakers, the Republicans, try as they might, they never get invited into the room on this because the Democratic leaders, and you know who they are, but I'll keep mentioning them to you, Matt Ritter, Jason Rojas, Bob Duff, and Martin Looney. And by the way, if Senators Duff and or Looney would like to call this program every so often, I'd love to have them on. Maybe Bob Duff is, too busy putting Trump as Hitler videos out there. I don't know. Now, our buddy, our pal, Dan Harr from Hearst Connecticut Media, he's up at the Capitol today. He just sent me something on video that we'll chat about later on. And let's just say we're not usually in simpatico on these things. Dan and I are in full lockstep on this one. Folks, this is legislative crap. And I know the impulse when I say we need a full-time legislature is to say, well, they'll only do damage. They're doing more damage now. Do you understand? They're doing more damage now. They, every single session, Looney and Ritter and Rojas and Duff, they all sit behind the, well, we have a deadline to get it done. I'm going to read you just a one or two line summary of some bills coming up. We'll do that after the news. I don't want to get into it now because we have too short of a segment here. And forgive me for venting on this, but folks, you have to know what's going on here. Although technically this is okay, this is legislative malfeasance here. They're about to pass 10 or 15 laws with one vote, one or two votes today in the state Senate, and it goes to the House tomorrow. This is not how our government is supposed to run. It's not that one side or another is going to get what they want. No. Well, you know, if we split all these bills up into the original way we did them, you loudmouth talk show host, then it would take us too long. Oh, isn't that too bad? If it takes too long, then resign. I'm sure we can find 36 other men and women of due intelligence, maybe even more intelligent, to run the state Senate, and I'll bet your bottom dollar we'll find 151 women or men in the state House of both parties, or, you know, all the parties, who can sit there and do this like adults. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. This is lunacy. None of these bills that they're going to jam down the throats of Connecticut citizens are our emergency bills. There's no emergency here. But that's what the leadership in Hartford, the people that you people, a lot of, keep sending back every 2 years without even reviewing any progress. What do we really fix here in Connecticut? None of this stuff is an emergency. You know what's an emergency? There's an election coming up in November. That's the emergency. Real quick before news, Matt in Fairfield starts us off today. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Paul. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
I hear what you're saying, and I have no doubt.
Yeah.
But one of my questions I have is because I don't know the landscape here.
Yeah.
What states around us have full-time legislators?
I have a list here. Hang on. Here are the states that have full-time legislatures. Alaska, California, Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois, Hawaii, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
Okay, so having heard that, don't those states have a lot of the same type of complaints about what they don't get out of their state legislator?
But at least their legislators cannot hide behind the, oops, hey, Matt, we're running out of time here, buddy. We better pass this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
see what I'm saying? You know?
I'm interested in these guys doing a job.
Yeah.
And doing it efficiently,
yeah,
and really serving the people. And on one side of the coin, giving them more time is just giving them more time to do stupid.
Well, Matt, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. If you want to hear stupid, Matt, just give me a couple of minutes here. We will outline to you what the Democratic majority in Hartford thinks should be covered under an emergency coming up. Stormy doings up at the state capitol. Oh, man, our buddy, our pal Dan Haar is here. Hearst Connecticut Media sniffing out maybe emergencies at the state capitol. Dan Haar, Dan, how are you? What is this with an emergency bill, Dan? Is the capitol crumbling? Or are we all right?
I got my flashing lights on right now.
Well, I enjoyed your little Instagram post earlier in the day today.
That's my first video rant.
I liked it.
Doing more video rants for your listeners who haven't seen it. It's on Instagram for CT Insider and Facebook and YouTube. We have a YouTube channel,
yep.
So it's all up there. It's a 1 minute rant, and basically, what this is a dispute over the word emergency.
Yeah.
The Democrats have packaged together into this, one-day or two-day session. And bear in mind, this is a regular session of the legislature. They can meet any time. They don't have to call a special session while the regular session is in play, right? So they've got some 15 different bills in this one package, and I can't name them all, but there's an education reform that includes 29 pieces, which passed in the House last year and failed in the Senate. It didn't fail. It didn't come up for a vote in the Senate under threat of the Republicans talking it to death. So there's a warehouse workers protection bill. There's a number of earmarks, you know, just your basic blocking and tackling earmarks. There are some regulations changes, just lots of things, big and small, that are thrown together in one bill. And this has caused the Republicans to, basically, rightly, I think, blow a head gasket because this is not an emergency.
Yeah.
And the reason it matters is that the designation of this bill as an emergency or ESERT, emergency certification in the jargon of the Capitol, enables them to circumvent the normal committee process so that the education bill, for example, that was sponsored by Representative Leeper from Westport Fairfield last year, normally in order to come back, it would have to go through hearings again. There would no doubt be some adjusted language. Usually there is, not always. And it would have to go through the committee process, the education committee, perhaps the appropriations committee if it costs money, that kind of thing, right? And it would typically be taken up as a single bill.
Sure.
You know, and it would take a lot of time. And the Republicans being in the minority, all they can do is block time, right?
Yeah.
So So this is being circumvented by the designation, the simple word emergency. And the definition of an emergency at the Capitol under the gold dome here turns out to be what Speaker Matt Ritter and Senate President Pro Tem Martin Looney call an emergency. If they call it an emergency, it's an emergency. This is not atypical. This happens. But in this case, it's a more extreme version of it than anyone can remember.
And Dan Haar, it saddens me because this is the kind of thing, and I mention this on my show all the time, it's not that some of these bills are not important, and it's not that some of these bills don't have merit. I'm sure many of them do. But people see and hear you and I, you in particular, describing the process here. And Dan, I think you'll agree with me. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. This is the kind of thing that tends to breed cynicism about the people that govern us. And it's just, I call it legislative slop. It's just not right.
It does, but there's another reason why I think it's a problem, and that is that the Democrats rightly criticize President Donald Trump for declaring an emergency to enact ICE raids without judicial warrants, an emergency to declare global tariffs without permission from Congress, an emergency to raid to attack Venezuela, an emergency to send the National Guard to cities, and on and on and on. I think, don't hold me to this, I think DOGE was also, there may have been an emergency declaration with that too, right? But plenty of emergencies that are fake emergencies coming from Donald Trump. And the Democrats, by giving their own fake emergency here on things that could be passed through the regular session, in other words, unlike the stuff Trump is doing, this is stuff that would pass, right? Trump probably couldn't sneak these ICE raids through Congress, because any Republican that voted to allow ICE to raid a church without a judicial warrant, it probably in anything resembling a purple seat would lose his or her job. But these bills here, there's no good reason to do it. The Democrats can pass this stuff.
Yeah.
So it in my opinion, it takes away the Democrats' ability to criticize the president, which is a big venue of criticism, you know. And so that's really a big part of it for me. Senator Looney said in response to my suggestion that that was the most ridiculous analogy he's ever heard.
I was going to ask you to wrap up here, Dan. So you've spoken to Democratic leaders, maybe in the rank and file. What besides that, what has been, if anything, their reaction when you've asked them, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you doing it? What do they tell you?
Efficiency. We're getting things done.
Okay.
These are good bills, and we're getting things done, and we were elected here to get things done. And that's what they're saying.
All right.
These are good bills, and there is urgency to them because of, you know, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Urgency, it turns out, is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
Quietly, I am hearing from some rank and file Democrats, you know, that,
the quiet ones. Yes. Live from the Capitol, Dan Haar, Hearst, Connecticut Media. Dan, thanks. Keep your head down, and we'll chat next week. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. There you go. Joining us right now, one of our go-to guys. We love having him on, Dr. Jonathan Wharton, Associate Professor, Political Science, Urban Affairs, and Chair of the Sociology Department at Southern Connecticut State University. Hey, John, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Paul. Good afternoon.
What'd you think? Did you give it a watch last night? Look, I was like, all right, it's another round of Trump here. Was anybody surprised here, John? I don't think so. What do you think?
No. And I was watching with friends of mine. This is my staying up for the entire thing. And I was just exhausted. So I bared through it. Couldn't believe it went past 11, of course.
Yeah. I don't know, John. Is exhausting a good word for a political speech or not?
Well, I mean, we got to remember, when it comes to the State of the Union, you know, it's not much of, you know, policy decision-making, right? It's a lot of rhetoric. You know, and of course, Trump is going to make it, you know, combative and certainly be the showman that he is, which, you know, he's good at. You know, you got to give him credit for that. but it certainly was far longer than I thought. But I'll kind of put it on all the clapping in between.
the built-in applause lines. I mean, obviously, he's trying to change the narrative on the economy. He also sprinkled in some immigration stuff. The hockey team was there, too, the men's hockey team. So it really was kind of a fusillade of a bunch of things that he was firing at his critics.
Which is unusual, because you usually say to the union, you're giving an overview of what is expected for the congressional session. You know, and probably think you know that I worked for Congress for years.
Mm-hmm.
And those on the Hill, you know, including myself or the staffers, would kind of follow the speeches along to examine specific policies and what is the kind of blueprint or ideas. And from what I've done in analyzing, I think it's 6 or 7 pieces, if you want to call it legislation, but let's call it proposals. And typically, presidents would offer far more than that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. John, this one here, too, I went into last night saying, well, this is the beginning of his assault, if you will, verbally on the Democrats heading into the midterms, which are getting closer and closer. I mean, you say November, we're already in March here now. So I would imagine a lot of what we heard last night on these hot button issues, the economy, immigration, was composed with an angle toward that.
Well, actually, from what I was reviewing it because just, you know, Paul, the only reason why you appreciate me is that, you know, I'm always reviewing this stuff. And from what I was counting up, I think it was 8 references to the Democrats calling them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep a score at home.
Yeah.
don't worry, I did it for you, Paul.
All right.
So I've done your homework here.
Thank you.
And, of course, hey, listen, I recognize when students don't do their homework. I'm used to it. So
yeah. Right.
But it's about 8 times. And the thing that was very unique was, besides calling them out, was you saw the targets to Nancy Pelosi, which I was like, wow, you don't see that so often. But that is very Trump-esque. That is his brand. That is how he's been able to kind of galvanize many of his supporters, is to call out a lot of lawmakers and even the Democratic Party publicly.
Final thing on this whole thing, John, if you're on the receiving end of this, if you're the Democrats and you're sitting there, most of them were, they had that alternate thing where Chris Murphy and Jim Himes and a few other Connecticut people were. When do you think, now they're not going to completely drop the We Hate Trump thing because it motivates some of their voters, I get it, but don't you, and I was kind of musing about this the last half hour or so, don't you kind of have to start at least sprinkling in or giving a good faith effort to say, well, give us some seats back and here's what we will do policy-wise. Do you think they have to do that, or do the Democrats just continue with the whole Trump is evil thing right through November?
I don't think there's anything else but to do that. I mean, that's what's been the playbook for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it works, you know, because the problem is that what else is there to offer beyond that?
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, it turns off a lot of voters, especially those who aren't affiliated with any political party. And so they're not likely to engage. I guess I was more, to get to your point, Paul, I was more surprised that Himes decided not to show up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of all the districts, I mean, I know people don't think Fairfield County is, you know, not at play, but I mean, come on, it's not, you know, it's not a John Larson District 1
no.
rah-rah Democrat.
No.
I mean, the last time I heard, Fairfield County is still pretty splintered, but, you know, I get that it's more unaffiliated voters, but still, I was a little bit surprised that it had to be that district. Of course, I'm biased because, you know, I worked for Chris Shays and I've worked in district, so I should be quiet.
No.
That's
okay. And speaking of Connecticut, last question here, John, that nutmeg poll state was poll of Connecticut was out from the folks in New Hampshire. I found it interesting. They have Governor Lamont at 49% favorability. And among the two main GOP candidates, of course, Ryan Fazio and Aaron Stewart, I don't know whether you saw the link I sent, but her negatives are, way up above 20% now. That could really hurt her with Republican primary voters, could it not?
And convention. I don't ignore convention because, you know, that endorsement matters in many ways. Especially to appear on the ballot. Look, one thing I had to bring out, and I'm sure you know this.
Yeah.
I'm getting all the hate mail. And the text messages.
Wow.
About, you know, Aaron this, Aaron that. I'm sure you've heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, it is really, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been I've been tempted to send a couple of them to her. I'm just like, yikes, like, how do you respond to this, you know, because it's just amazing how much is out there. So they're clearly going after the Republican voters with this stuff, I assume, not just for the primary, but you're thinking, I'm thinking convention, to be frank with you.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, she's a rhino. She's a Democrat in disguise. And, you know, well, you saw that that unfavorable John, it may be working, so we shall see. Dr. Jonathan Wharton, associate professor, poli-sci, urban affairs, and he chairs the sociology department at Southern Connecticut State University. John, always good to chat with you, my friend. Be good, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you.
Great, Paul. Take care.
All right, thanks. All right, let's get another professional view on the State of the Union last night. I've been talking to this gentleman for years, Quinnipiac University professor, political science. Dr. Scott McLean joins us with his views on what he saw last night and heard. Hey, Scott, it's Paul again. How are you, man? It's been too long. How you been?
It's been too long, Paul. Great to hear from you. Hope you stayed safe in the storms.
Absolutely. I didn't make any snow angels. The snow was just a little too thick for my liking.
Perfect for snowmen, though. Absolutely.
Moisture content at all. Last night, listen, I've talked to a few people today already. No real surprises with the State of the Union, at least I wasn't. What did you think, from what you heard last night, Scott, and now heading into the midterms, what do you think?
Well, you know, you're right, no surprises. What surprised me is how entertaining it was. I think this may be one of his better State of the Union addresses, if not for the content of the ideas, but for the theatricality. I mean, people, you know, behind this door, we're going to have this famous person come in this door. We're going to have the U.S. hockey team. I mean, and they were very good about not, you know, leaking out or telling their hand before the speech. And so it was a vintage Trump showmanship. You know, the content of the ideas is a different thing.
I'm glad you put it that way, Scott. The showmanship is one thing, but again, he has got to, and we heard this yesterday, reset the agenda, flip the arguments, you know, this whole thing now before affordability. One day he's into it, the next day he says it's a scam, and then the day before that he said he was into it. So I would imagine, Scott, the focus on the midterms here, coming off of that speech last night, it's going to be uber important here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you said it exactly right, Paul. The thing that kind of surprised me is not that he went back and doubled down on his immigration plan and deportations, is that he came back to it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had a stopwatch to just know what percentage of that speech was really talking about immigration. And you know, even though there was the withdrawal of ICE from Minneapolis, drawing it down, he gave no sign that it wasn't just going to come up again in other places, saying things about sanctuary cities. It's not clear what he considers sanctuary city or not. That did surprise me. You know, I think also you're right. He's facing an uphill climb. He has lost about 15 percentage points of support from independents, which are going to be critical votes for Congress next year.
Yeah.
And he can try to, just like Biden did, he can try to say, well, you know, we're not really having that big of a problem in affordability and we'll get through this. But the day after the speech is over, people are looking at the same bills. They're still looking at the same costs. And so I think long term, I think it's short term. Republicans can feel great about that speech. I think it gave Republicans, not MAGA Republicans, but all Republicans, a little more confidence. But I'm not sure how long it will last with independents.
Dr. Scott McLean is the guest. So, Scott, if you're on the Democratic side here, and I know they had their little alternate thing last night, which had some Connecticut participants, Jim Himes and Chris Murphy among them. Do the Democrats completely just stick with Trump is really bad for America, we hate Trump, Or is there a point here, and maybe there isn't, Scott, where they've got to get concrete on policies, or do they hold off on that till 2028? What do you think?
Well, I think you and I both know what we would wish, right? We'd like to see the Democrats come up with some positive alternative rather than just say Trump is doing a bad job. And I think that's something that's hard to do if you don't control either House of Congress. And I not that I'm worried about them, but I'm concerned that they're getting once again locked into just being anti-Trump, but not being clear about what they are really for. The whole Minnesota ICE situation, the Epstein files, you know, gave them a lot of momentum and something to really get into. But that's not much. It doesn't last long.
Yeah. Dr. Scott McLean, Quinnipiac University. I've been talking to this gentleman for years. Scott, always good to have you on, and we'll chat, I'm sure, down the road. Thanks, Scott. Be good.
You too. You be better, Paul.
Oh, take care. You be better, Scott. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.